listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. Reading once again from Jeremiah, also from Isaiah. Reading first of all, Jeremiah 31, verse 28, we read, "And as it shall come to pass that like as I have watched over them to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, saith the Lord." Jeremiah is here speaking in a time when God has broken down, when he is breaking down, and he will still break down in the years to come, the next few years. But then he also speaks of a time in the future to build and to plant. We read in verse 29, "In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge, but every one shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grapes, his teeth shall be set on edge." And then 31, verse 31. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. Remember, first of all, behold, the days come. They are coming. Unless they have been fulfilled, they are still coming. Then God says, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and Judah. A particular agreement with them. Sometimes when we think of new covenant, we just put it where we say, well, this is the new covenant or that is the new covenant. But here is a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. A new agreement, a new time of blessing for those particular people. Also, I'd like to read from Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah, who prophesied over 100 years before Jeremiah. Now, this is what we read from his pen. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many peoples, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Listen to that again. Walk in the light of the Lord. Therefore, thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east, and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves in the children of strangers. Their land also is full of silver and gold, neither is there any end to their treasures. Their land is also full of horses, neither is there any end of their chariots. Their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. And the mean man boweth down, and the great man humbleth himself, therefore forgive them not. Enter into the rock, hide thee in the dust, for the fear of the Lord, and for the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty, and upon every one that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low, and upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, and upon every fenced wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all pleasant pictures. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down. The haughtiness of men shall be made low. The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. The idol shall he utterly abolish. They shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord, for the glory of his majesty, when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they have made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks, and into the tops of the ragged rocks, for fear of the Lord, for the glory of his majesty, when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. Cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? Let's pray. These words, describing many different things, and yet, basically, one thing. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Then he goes on describing what he saw concerning them. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ. We come giving thanks in his name, who is thy eternal Son, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, who was the same for Adam, Abel, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Isaiah, and Jeremiah, sometimes called here the branch, given other names, especially by Isaiah, being described as Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of whose worship and whose government there is no end. We pray, Father, in his name, that we may be taught of these things, that we might rightly think before thee, that we might give thee glory in thy word, in reading it, in giving thee praise, in being humbled before it, even as we read twice, and the lofty nooks of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and thou, Lord, alone shall be exalted in that day. Father, we know that many today will not exalt thy name. Many will mock it. Many will speak against thy word, against thy ways in creation, thy ways in many other areas of our lives, having no law but self, no love but to self. And we pray, Father, that that day described here may come, whether it come in a lesser way to some areas, to the church to revive it, or whether it come in a greater way to Jerusalem, and then many people shall say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. Father, all these things are spoken of, and we read in that day, in that day, in that day. Teach us how to think of it. Teach us how to be still and know that thou art God. We ask, Father, also for blessings in other areas, those that need thee today in their bodies. Some will, without thy healing, die. We pray that if they are left to death, they will be prepared for that hour. We pray that many might be given the blessing of healing. We pray for those in hunger, that they might be given what is needed for the body, those homeless, those in war-torn lands, that peace might come, that the wicked might be restrained, but above all, that these things spoken of here, that they will no longer lift up sword against nation, and not learn war anymore, that that may come now. Many would mock at this, Father, and say, it will not come, but it can come. We know that thou art a God of peace as well as a God of war, and we know that thou canst bring either in any place, any time, to any people, to few or to many. And we pray that we might be made to realize it, that our lofty looks may be brought down, that we might cease from man, or especially from self, as this word ended. We pray, Father, also for homes. We pray especially for troubled homes. We pray for children in those homes. We pray for schools, both the elementary and the higher learning, that they may no longer deny thee as creator, as lawgiver, as sustainer. Father, as Paul could say, it is in thee that we live and move and have our being. Make us to know it again in our nation and other nations as well, that we might know all these things together and all these sins that have so increased in these recent years, that we might recognize them as sin and how great our sins and miseries are. We pray, Father, that we might know it and then know the blessing that though our sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow in Christ. Be with those in lonesomeness, those in older age, all through Christ we pray. Amen. We have considered many times and through much of the time the prophecy of Jeremiah. We have gone from it sometimes to different areas of God's holy word. And recently again from Jeremiah, seeing his judgment, his warning, his predictions, prophecies. Seeing last week Daniel in Babylon at the same time as Jeremiah still in Jerusalem, and Jerusalem not yet fallen. We could also go to other prophets that are speaking at the same time. Ezekiel, for example. And then finally in the middle part of the book of Ezekiel, we find that Jerusalem has fallen and They become aware of it. Here we have a prophecy of the future. We do not know exactly when, how, but we do know this. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Many would say in reading it, well, that's a prophecy of the church. And then see it in a general way, sometimes through all time. But it is really not that. Sometimes when I've written of these things, people say, that's your theory. Do you read the Word of God? Will you read this with me? Will you read what God is telling us through the prophet Isaiah? The God who also said, Father, into this prophecy, to this man will I look, who is poor and of a contrite heart, and trembleth at my word. Have you heard it enough to make you tremble? Tremble in fear, and even better, tremble in joy, because this is promised. To who? Of who? The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Do you know who that is? You know who those people are? You know where it is? It is the land of Judah. It is of Jerusalem. Verse 6 we read, therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east and are soothsayers like the Philistines. That did happen different times, and it was happening particularly in the time of Jeremiah that we've been studying about. But as we read in Jeremiah, as God has broken down, so he will build up. He speaks of both, and he does both, and always in his own way, his own time. Sometimes when I read these things, it seems to be according to the way man heeds or does not heed God's word. God did say by the pen of Jeremiah, if you repent, you will not have to remove out of the land. He gave them that promise. He gave them also the warning. What would happen if they didn't repent? And we know they did not give heed. We know that their terrible destruction followed. And here Isaiah is speaking much as Jeremiah. And we can find that not only here, but we can find that throughout his prophecy. Many, many prophecies for the Gentiles. Many, many prophecies for the church. But also many particular prophecies for, as we read here, Judah and Jerusalem. In Jeremiah 31, we read, for the house of Judah and the house of Israel. Two particular groups. Yes, there are oftentimes things in the Bible that are types. Shadows. Examples. Israel was often an example for us. Paul said so when he wrote to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. But they were a people, an actual people, that actually did what Paul described and gave warning and says, don't do it like they did. They actually did it. And God punished them. He says, don't do it like they did. And we could get punished as well. God doesn't always do that. Sometimes he punishes quickly. Sometimes he punishes people openly before others. Other times, as the psalmist said, wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? They have no bands in their death. Nobody seems to realize it. They just go on. God can do it any way. He can give it in sudden death. He can give it in prolonged death. He can give it judgment after death. All of that he can do. And we have many things described here. But one thing especially, spoken over, the 11th verse of this second chapter, the lofty looks of man shall be humbled, the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And then the further prophecy, the 12th verse, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty, and every one that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Is it any wonder that God says to this man, well, look, who trembleth at my word, would you dare to say you're not proud? God says, every one that is proud, every one that is lifted up, shall be brought low. Every one. In that day, that particular time. He repeats it, verse 17, the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. We certainly are not exalting the Lord in our nation. We're disdaining his laws. The law of marriage. Half the people, half the homes give no heed to God's word in the church and in the nation. Yes, often the people in the church and in our homes talk about this sin, that sin. Yes, they're there. Some people talk about the sins that ruin marriage. They're there. But much of marriage has already been ruined terribly, proudly, wickedly. I've been thinking this week about a couple that I have spoken to years back, a number of years back, and came out to mind again. Both sides, when approached and asked to try to reconcile, said, I don't cast my pearls before swine. Both said that of each other. Both so proud they think they have pearls. Both so proud that they can disdain the other and call them swine in the church. If you'd ask either one of them, are you in a good church? Are you one of the best churches? They would answer in the affirmative, yes, we are right. While they're very, very wrong, wickedly wrong. And you know what's going to happen? The loftiness of men shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And along with it, his word. Heaven and earth will pass away. Christ said, but my word will never pass away. It's going to stand. If you haven't listened to it during your lifetime, you will face it on the day of judgment. I don't care who you are, what you are, what you think. And don't call things that people teach so quickly just theories. If you go to the scripture and find that what I'm saying isn't there, then it's a theory. Evolution is a theory. It isn't in the Bible. Creation is. There are other things that are theories, and I want to go into them. Doctrines that are practiced by a large part of the church are theory. You can't find them in the Bible. As I've often said, if you want to find it in your Bible, then go to the last page, which is often blank. And everything is there that concerns that particular practice. What is it then? Often under the loftiness of man, the tradition of man, by which, as Christ said, you make void the commandments of God. Dishonor God. But one day God is going to be exalted, and all the lofty looks of men shall be made low. The haughtiness of men, the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. As I think of, again, those words of Jeremiah, very plainly spoken, behold, the days come. And I repeat, as I said earlier, if they haven't come, they're coming. They're in the future. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. Some would just dismiss it and say, well, that's the new covenant in Christ that has come. That's for the Gentiles. That's for the church. Yes, that's all true. But that isn't particularly what Jeremiah is speaking of here. That covenant which has come. Christ has come. If you're Jewish, if you're of Israel, believe it. Believe it to the saving of your soul. Believe it to what Isaiah has said has come. The suffering servant. The woman. The virgin has given birth. Bethlehem has had a son born. Emmanuel, God with us. He's here. He's come. But he has not yet blessed Judah and Israel in this way. In that day, the days come. And when the days did come that Christ was born, the fullness of time came. Israel refused him. They didn't show evidence of a new covenant. They didn't show evidence of having God's law written on their hearts, their inward parts, all of them, from the least to the greatest. Yes, the thief on the cross did, but the greatest of them didn't. They mocked. The leaders mocked. That's all they could do. That's all they knew. But those lofty looks of those leaders will be brought down. They'll be brought out of the grave. The earth will give up its dead. The sea will give up its dead. They'll all be called before God. But I think we're thinking today of mostly of those that are living and will be living on that time. There will be a host that no man can number. Revelation chapter 7. First, we read about God sealing his servants, a number from every tribe in Israel. And then we read, after that, we read in Isaiah in that day, Jeremiah at that time, the days come. In Revelation chapter 7, and after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number of all nations, kindreds, and tongues. Those came out of great tribulation. Those washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. God said it. It will be done as he said. Are you going to be one of the listeners?
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise